You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. It used to be property taxes were skyrocketing when home values went up. Sometimes tax bills went up by double-digit percentages in a single year. Voters fixed that with the passage of Proposal A in 1994. It capped how much property taxes could go up in a year at 5% or the rate of inflation, whichever is less. But no one really anticipated home values would drop like they did during the Great Recession. Home values are returning to normal now, but the property tax increases, they're being held down because of Proposal A. That means cities are not recovering at the same rate the economy is recovering. The Michigan Municipal League, which represents cities, wants to make some changes to Proposal A. Tony Mangini is with the Municipal League. So what do you guys have in mind for changes to Prop A?
Well, first of all, I think what we want to do is make some tweaks to it that don't really undermine the intention of Proposal A or the Headley Amendment, but really make it work in the way people would expect it to. So you described how coming out of the recession, we've seen local governments sort of lag. They're not just lagging, they're never going to catch up because there's no limit to how far values can fall during a recession. But when you describe the caps that are in place, it means that we've got cities operating at levels they were operating at decades ago. On average, taxable values are at where they were in 2005. And in some places, you have to go back into the 90s before you get to a value where they're at. But their costs are obviously 2017.
I want to talk about another effect of Proposal A, which drives people crazy. And that is, if somebody buys a new home, their tax is going to be a lot higher than it was before because those caps all kind of disappear. It's got a new value, right? So you might be living next door to a person who's paying far less and taxes, even though your property values are essentially the same. Is that normal for a taxing system?
Well, again, that's how the protections were created when they passed Proposal A. If you were around back then, we had an incredibly strong real estate market, and we were seeing values for individual homes growing at rates far in excess of inflation, and people were being, quote unquote, taxed out of their homes. So that's what Proposal A tried to fix. And the solution was this capping, and then it would be uncapped when you sold. From the municipal side, there's a whole different exposure on capping. There's this belief that the city gets the benefit of those values when they're uncapped. But again, another nuance of our property tax system is that under the Headley Amendment, your real millage rate's back when those values are added to the uncapping. So the city still doesn't get the value of the uncapping and actually ends up with less than inflationary growth, if you can believe that.
So any changes you'd make to Prop A, the idea is more revenue for municipalities. That would mean higher taxes. The homeowners would have to pay higher taxes. I think you're aware Wayne County is seeing a massive number of tax foreclosures every year. People are already losing their homes. So how would your proposal affect folks like that?
So it wouldn't change anyone's taxes tomorrow. What it would do is it would provide protection in the next recession. We can't really undo what's been done here. But we don't track with the economy. We're in a strong economy right now. As you pointed out, home values are returning, business property values are returning, local government's not sharing in that prosperity. And that's what we need to fix. So what we would change would be to allow two things. One, Headley affects millage rates. Millage rates—
Remind us what Headley is.
So the Headley Amendment was the first constitutional limitation placed on taxes, and it actually dealt with the millage rate itself. And it dealt with community in aggregate. Proposal A did the same thing on a parcel-by-parcel basis. Headley adjusted those values based on the millage rate itself. You hear about a Headley rollback, that's adjusting of the millage rates. Prior to Prop A, Headley could roll down in a greater-than-inflationary market, and in a less than, it could roll back up. Never beyond the charter limitations, but it had that upward and downward mobility. Proposal A took that away, not via the vote in the Constitution, but legislatively when they did the implementation legislation. So one of the changes we would propose is allow Headley to move up and down. So in the recession we just came out of, when values plummeted, it would have allowed the millage rates to go back up and try and temper some of the difficulties that the communities were seeing. Because keep in mind, there's no reduction in service demands when property values decline at the local level. And that is the single biggest revenue source in a community. It's typically about 50%. So creating something that tracks the economy makes sense. The second part would be when I go back to what I was talking about, and you talked about this uncapping. When those values go into the Headley calculation, it skews it naturally. So those values should not be included in that, because when you include them, you get less than inflationary growth. So those two changes wouldn't raise anyone's taxes, but they would change the trajectory for the future so that everyone's paying a more equitable share.
So we wouldn't be back to those double-digit inflation taxes. The legislature has already been talking about an income tax rollback. We don't know if that's going to happen now, but it's not sharing the state sales tax with municipalities the way it once was. A skeptical person might say there's no political will to make any kind of tax changes, even if it might benefit communities, whether they need it or not. So how do you overcome that resistance that's pretty tough in Lansing these days?
Well, I'll tell you, we've actually for the last year plus been embarking on an education and outreach around that very thing. We've called it Save My City. Because one of the things that we are absolutely convinced, and the data supports this, there's no way we're going to have a strong economy in Michigan unless we have strong communities. You're trying to attract businesses, you're trying to attract residents. That can only happen with strong communities. If you look at the places that are killing us across the country, they figured that out. They're investing in their communities, and that's why they're growing. We've stayed around 10 million people, plus or minus, for the last 30, 40 years. If we would have just kept pace, we'd have 14 million people living in Michigan right now. We're losing ground politically. We're losing ground economically. And this is about people. We announce, hey, we had a few jobs get added here or there. We're really just moving them around the chessboard. We're not adding people. We've doubled our infrastructure, asking the same 10 million people to support it. We've got to make those investments. And I think that's the key word right here. Invest in our most powerful economic asset. And that's the places that we have. If you look around Michigan and you think about the resources we bring to bear, natural resources, industrial resources, educational resources, we should be beating everybody. And somehow we've played that into a losing hand. And I think it's because this disinvestment strategy that we've done, because we've put too much emphasis on let's make this the cheapest rather than the best. And I think we've got to strike a new balance. And I think that message is starting to resonate a little bit.
I think, you know, one of the more successful cities in this state is in a red county, Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. and yet it's doing a lot of these things you're talking about. It's making investments into mass transit. It's put a lot of money into and gotten a lot of state money mm-hmm. into like the Van Andel Arena and things like that. So it seems like they might actually have the formula, and it's a Republican area, mm-hmm. but it doesn't translate to the Republican legislators, it seems like.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we've got to make those connections between those types of things that they're doing. And I think that is starting to happen. Grand Rapids also, by the way, has the benefit of an income tax, which does track with the economy. And that's the other thing that is completely lacking in our current structure. In a strong economy, your intuitive sense might be that local government's going to be doing okay. You know, my 401k is back, so they must be doing okay. And that's just not the case. They're struggling because they don't have any control over any of their revenue side of the equation. The only thing a city can do that finds themselves in any kind of budgetary difficulties is cut expenses, which equates to cutting services, which is counterintuitive to making the community stronger, which is their revenue generating engine. You know, that's their factory.
One other question. Besides tinkering with Proposal A, do you have any other ideas that might help cities out?
We've got to start thinking differently. We've got to think more strategically about how we do certain things. Part of this is looking at cost things, for sure. I mean, we've got tremendous legacy costs in Michigan that we don't have really much control over. So we got to think about how we can deliver those benefits more in a more cost-effective way. So that's part of something I think worthy of looking at. I think we've got to be more strategic about our infrastructure. As I pointed out, we have doubled our infrastructure for the same number of people. You don't have to be a numbers person to realize that that math problem just doesn't work. When you think about what happened in Flint, it's as much that as anything else. You had infrastructure built for 200,000. You got 100,000 people trying to maintain it. Bad things are going to happen. That model exists in the whole region, if we're honest about it. So why wouldn't we incent utilizing the infrastructure we have rather than building new? That'd be a change in mindset that would be beneficial for everybody. And then revenues are certainly part of it. You know, the tax system needs some tweaking. Revenue sharing, we need to think about restoring that, because that's such an important investment in creating great places, which ultimately drive our economy. Over 85% of GDP comes out of these metro regions around the state, and we're disinvesting in them. We got to think differently. We have to, with the limited resources we have, where do you get the most bang for the buck? And it's going to be in making those places strong.
Tony Mangini is the Chief Operating Officer of the Michigan Municipal League. Thanks for helping us, kind of guiding us through the Prop A and Headley Amendment jungle there.
No, I appreciate the opportunity. It's certainly a complicated issue, and any chance we have to help folks understand, we're glad to do that.